Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's April 23rd. So in Mishnah Shoshan, we are up to Perek Dalad, which is B'derech Knias HaZehirus. It's how to be Kone, how to acquire Zehirus. Now, the way that the original Memra from Chazal that the Ramchal brought from Pinchas ben Yair was, he did it in his Hakdama, went like this: Torah mevi alidei Zehirus. Torah brings to Zehirus, then Zehirus brings to Zrizus, Zrizus to Nikius, etc. So the first thing was really Torah. He didn't discuss Torah. He isn't discussing. He's starting with all these midos, Zehirus, Zrizus, etc. But Torah is the thing that brings to Zehirus. So the Ramchal writes that the thing that brings to Zehirus most generally is Limud HaTorah. Now you can't say Limud HaTorah brings to Zehirus. You can't say that means the you can't say that's the only way to have Zehirus, because we know that Limud HaTorah is a mitzvah that is only for men. So it can't be that Hashem wants men and women to have Zehirus and then not be mitzvah women to do the thing that brings the Zehirus. So it is, as he says, other chlal, that which brings the Zehirus, but more specifically, what brings the Zehirus is the learning of the Maisim in Tanakh and the Memras of Chazal that show the Chiyuv a person has in this world, and more importantly, the Oimek Hadin, the depth of the Din. When you go through Tanakh, and this is something which it's very difficult for people who are not A, growing people, and B, both things, the growing people, and B, who are not already well grounded in Hashkafas HaTorah. Because when you go through Tanakh, there's so much negativity. Meaning, I don't mean that it says it things in a negative way, but there's so many bad things, and the emphasis is for sure on the bad, way more than on the good. And it's hard for people. So, for example, this week's parasha, where Nadav and Avihu are killed. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron that Hu Asher Diber Hashem Bikrovaya Kadesh. This is what Hashem meant when he said, I'll become Kadosh with those who are close to me. Because in Parshas Tetzaveh, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'nikdash bichvodi, that the Mishkan will become Kadosh bichvodi, which literally means with my kavod, but Chazal say, Al tikri bichvodi ela b'michubadi, with those who are mechabed me. That's how the Mishkan will become Kadosh. So Moshe says to Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron HaKohen that I knew the Mishkan would become Niskadesh b'miyuadav shalmakom, with those who know Hashem or close to Hashem, with his kroivim. V'ayasavrani, I thought, obi obach, either it'll be through me or through you, because we're the closest to Hashem. Now I see that none of you were closer to Hashem than we are. So it is through the deaths of Nadav and Avihu that Hashem's name was Niskadesh in the Mishkan. So the question, of course, is how do the deaths of Nadav and Avihu cause Hashem's name to become Kadosh? So again, Rashi says in this parasha, Chazal say, that the way that Hashem's name became Kadosh is because people say, if this is what happens to the great tzaddikim when they do an Avera, Kol Shekein, that's what's going to happen to Rishayim. In other words, it emphasizes the concept of Schar Vayinish, that things are serious. It's not a game. Hashem has a job that he has given to each person, and he expects us to be doing that job. And when a person strays from that job, there is punishment. And it's real. And it's not a game. Because if Nadav and Avihu, who were the closest to Hashem, got killed for doing something slightly wrong on their madrega, so Rishoyim all the more so. That's what it says in this week's parasha. Now, that limud, if a person is not a growing person and also is not already well grounded in Hashkafas HaTorah, that lesson has several pitfalls. One pitfall is...
Yeah. I don't understand how it shows that even more so for Roshan. What about that shows that it would be even more so true for Roshan?
Yeah, why not? If Tzadikim get killed and they don't do much wrong, so Roshan would do a lot more wrong, certainly they're going to get killed.
You're saying, oh, they'll get even more punishment for it if they're doing more.
Yeah, yeah. But the yeah.
Also, just the thing you just said, does that mean, you said, doesn't Avihu are closer to Hashem than Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron?
That's a Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron.
Okay.
That's a Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron. Whether it means they actually were closer or they had the potential to be closer, I'm not sure, but he said they were closer. So, your question? No. So, but there are several issues with this limud. One issue is, you could have said the other way around, that maybe this proves that being a tzaddik isn't as great as people say it is. Because, look, they got killed. The Rishayim, they didn't get killed. So, maybe it's not such a great thing to be a tzaddik. Maybe it's all a hoax. Number one. Number two, it's a very demoralizing message. You better watch out. Look what happened to Nadav and Avihu. They got smacked. So if that's what happened to them, what hope do we have? It's a pretty scary message. But the truth is, the Ramchal is saying that's the type of message that brings the Zehirus. When you read about the expectation Hashem had for Nadav and Avihu, and when they slightly went off of that expectation, they were killed, then it's a very sobering thing. It shows how serious the din is. You know, Nadav and Avihu, Chazal say that they were killed because they were Meir HaLacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban, because they passed in the Halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that they brought a Keteris that Moshe had not told them to bring, and they passed it on their own. So, usually when Chazal say that someone was Meir HaLacha b'fnei Rabbi, they're not talking about somebody doing something that was wrong, meaning the halacha, the person paskined, was a correct halacha. What was wrong was not that they got the halacha wrong. What was wrong was they didn't ask the Rebbe. They should have asked the Rebbe. Like with Shmuel HaNavi, where he does the same thing. He's mar halacha b'fnei Eli. The halacha he paskined was correct. The halacha he paskined over there was that shechita is ksher bizar. You don't need a kohen to do the shechita in the Mishkan, in Shiloh. I mean, he was right. Nevertheless, since he paskined b'fnei Eli, so he was chayiv misa for that. So Nadav and Avihu bringing the keteres that they brought were not necessarily doing something that was wrong. It was wrong because they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's a subtle infraction. That's not a terrible avera. I mean, they got the halacha right. You could say Baruch Shekevanti, I got it right. You know, I didn't. It was a little bit of a risk because I didn't ask my Rabbi, but I got it right. You feel good about that. But because they should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore they were killed. That's a pretty harsh din. So the message over there is that Hashem will punish for even the slightest thing. So you see the oimek hadin. You see the depth of the din. When you think about just how subtle the averus of the great ones are, and yet they're punished for it, then that makes us more serious about our own behavior.
What about the idea that tzaddikim are judged more strictly?
Yes, yes, kichut asar.
So then you could say they're held to that standard, but we're not.
Right, no, that's true. Okay, we've explained that. You're absolutely right. That's precisely what we're trying to say over here. But I'll explain
so
that.
So then it's the opposite. But then it doesn't bring to that. It doesn't bring, it's not going to say, oh, it's not going to bring to zero. So if you're thinking like, but that doesn't, I'm not held to that standard.
Right. So let's explain what that means to be held to chut asara. Let's explain what that idea. But just before I do that, the the reason why one can't say in this case that their deaths prove that being a tzaddik is not a good thing. Maybe you see that if you're a tzaddik, you get killed. If you're a rasha, you don't get killed. The reason why you can't say that is because the way they were killed was miraculous. That two tongues of fire came down and went up there. Not four. Actually, it's two. It was one, and it's split into four, I think, as the Gemara says. And they two tongues went up each of their nostrils. Each nostril had fire went up in it. And their insides were burned out. So it was a miraculous way that they were killed. So that shows that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it would have been that the tzaddik would echves, chas v'shalom, would starve to death. So, you know, we say, so if that would happen, you could say, oh, you see, good guys finish last. It doesn't pay to be good. But here, that's not what happened. Here it was a miraculous way they were killed, which shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. So you see, there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he punished them, certainly he's going to punish the Rishayim. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik mechasitov kechot asara means like this. When my wife used to teach 7th grade in Beis Yaakov of Baltimore, so she every year she would get to this limud, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik mechasitov kechot asara. She taught Shmuel Aleph, that's one of the things she taught. So in there, it came up in the learning. So invariably, there would be a girl who would say, so why would I ever want to be a tzaddik? Better, I should just be a regular person, because if I get too good, I'm going to get judged kechot asara. So what we fail to realize is that the Rashi of Zechariah of Weinberg explained that the Madrega, the reason why we are not punished when we do something wrong, the reason why we're not punished immediately, really when a person does something wrong, the immediate thing should be obliteration. That should be the immediate thing that happens. As soon as a person does anything against Hashem, really according to the letter of the law, they should be obliterated from existence. Let's think about it. A person was created. That means we don't deserve to be here. We didn't do anything to deserve to be here. Hashem, out of his goodness, gave us existence. Here, I was brought into this world out of the goodness of Hashem. And Hashem created me and he said, I want you to do this and this, and I don't want you to do that and that. So if Chas v'Shalom, I don't listen, what should happen is immediate obliteration. Because a person forfeited, they have the right to be here in the first place. And a person didn't do what they were told to do. But Hashem doesn't run the world that way. He runs the world with Rachamim. Rachamim tempers the din. He's going to discuss this at the end of this parak. We're not going to get to it tonight. We'll get to it, Mitzvah Hashem, next week. We'll go through this parak more broadly next week. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Rachamim to temper the din, he does not eliminate the din. But, for example, he is Marechaf. He gives us time to do tshuva. He allows for such a thing called tshuva. Because really, tshuva itself is illogical. How can tshuva, I did something wrong. How can that be erased? It happened already. You can't go back in time. That tshuva erases the avera is itself illogical. That's a chesed from Hashem. However, when Hashem gives us chesed, it's not living in the best possible way, which means it is diminishing from our dveikus, from our greatness, from our closeness to Hashem. A person who is able to live with just din and not rachamim is on a much higher madrega than a person who needs Hashem's rachamim. See, at the end of the day, the tzaddik who's judged kechot asayra, and we who are not judged kechot asayra, the tzaddik who's judged kechot asayra is much closer to Hashem than we are. And he is zoiche to be judged k'chot asara. Getting to that madrega is a better place. Your v'schar olam haba is much greater for a person who doesn't need the chesed of Hashem, who can live with din. It's a much higher level. We can't exist that way, and therefore Hashem has to give us chesed, otherwise we never survive. That's what it means when it says in Chazal that b'tchila Allah b'das livrais ha'olam b'din, that initially Hashem wanted to create the world only with din, no rachamim. But Hashem saw the world wouldn't last, so he shatafimo milas ha'rachamim. So he included rachamim as well with the din. So obviously it doesn't mean Hashem changed his mind. Hashem knows everything, he never changes his mind. But as Mar Shiva of Glaskis used to explain, when it says betchila ala b'machshava, what that means is the ultimate goal is that people should exist with just din, not with rachamim. But we can't get there unless there's rachamim first. There has to be rachamim. And as we grow in our lives, the goal is to get to a point where we don't need rachamim anymore, and we can exist with just din. That's a much higher madrega. Most people don't ever get there, but it is a much higher madrega. So to get to the point where we will be judged, kechut asayra, is in itself a very wonderful place to be. You're not upset about it when you're there. And when you're there, you don't say, I wish I wasn't so great, and then I wouldn't be punished for this. You say, Hashem, please, that little avera that I did, do whatever you have to do to totally eradicate it from existence. If I need to die, fine, because I don't want anything to separate between me and you. I want my service to be perfect for you. I don't want it to be that you had to come in and soften the din with rachamim. I want it to be that I was perfect, and whatever little thing I did wrong, I want you to obliterate it no matter what it takes. And I'm willing to suffer however I suffer. That's what midas ha'din is. That's living midas ha'din. Rabbi Akiva was able to endure when they raked his flesh because he was living that way. He was living with din. And all of the asar ugin machos, they were living with din. So it was a much higher madrega. When you klal Yisrael as a whole, most of us can't live on just din. We need rachamim. But it's been niskatnu adoros. We need more and more rachamim because we're less and less able to exist with just din. And the truth is, the galus reflects this. The existence that our ancestors lived in Europe over the years was an existence of a lot of din, much more than we live with. That they lived with pogroms and killings and kidnappings as a way of life. It was a way of life. It was accepted. These things happened. And they lived with it. And they said, this is what it means to be a Jew. They weren't upset about being a Jew. They didn't want the bad things to happen, of course. But they never said, I'd rather not be a Jew and this shouldn't happen. They were proud of being Jewish. But they knew being Jewish meant, comes along with a lot of pain and suffering. We've sunk so low, we wouldn't be able to handle that. Hashem has given us a much more benevolent gullus. Because we can't live that way. We would give up chasron, we'd give up our faith. It's a whole different way of living. So having rachamim is a bracha. It's a big bracha because we couldn't exist otherwise. But it is still a distance from Hashem. The higher level would be to be able to live with din, and to embrace the pain and suffering that comes with. Because it means that when we finally move on to the next world, our sins are completely wiped away. And we're totally close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does do din on the slightest thing to the great tzaddikim, what that means is we also really need that. But we're not on a madrega to be able to handle that. So Hashem doesn't punish us for those little things, at least not in this world, at least not in a very immediate way. But ultimately, Hashem does not forget about these things. Every little thing is taken into account. We'll see Mitzvah Hashem next week when we go through this parak more in detail, that every little thing is taken into account, even for non-big tzaddikim. Ultimately, every little thing is taken into account. The Gemara says, I mean, we'll learn about it. The Gemara says, Maseches Chagiga, Afilu Sicha Kala Bein Ish LeIshto, Magidin LaBashas Adin. Even just the light talk between a husband and wife, they say over in the Shas Adin, the future. Even that. You figure, what do you mean? It's just husband and wife, it's private, like it's not, you know, they're just schmoozing. Even that. Everything. Every little thing. We just can't live with that always on our heads. But to be aware of the fact that every little thing is important. Some question?
So did you say that would be in the Holocaust? They were living within?
Well, so the Holocaust is a Shas HaShmad. Mm-hmm. So we don't know why the Holocaust happened then. Mm-hmm. That we don't know. We don't know why that door was chosen to be Shas HaShmad. Mm-hmm. That we do not know. We do know that the Holocaust was a result of Averis. Mm-hmm. That we do know. As were the pogroms and everything else. It's a scary thing to say because we say to ourselves, are we any better than they were? And we, of course, we're not any better than they were. So does that mean we deserve the same thing? Chas v'shalom. So, atavdach pelas sudden. We don't talk that way. But the fact of the matter is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us a benevolent galus. But why did they deserve that level of punishment? That is something which we don't know why that dar. That they were being mechaper, they were being mechaper for many, many doors that came before them. That's what they were doing. The kapara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought out through the Holocaust was mechaper for many people who had lived and died well before those who were killed and tortured in the Holocaust. So why were they chosen to be the ones to suffer? That we don't have an answer for. But it certainly was the result of a cumulative amount of averus. Okay, this is a very heavy topic. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try to develop it more next week. There'll be Mitzvah Hashem, there'll be people here who were not here this week, but we'll try to, you know, so you may, the three of you may hear some things we said this week again next week, but we'll try to develop more.
Thank you.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.